Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life.
Out of what?
Out of reading people's faces.
And knowing.
Knowing what the cards were.
By how?
By the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice.
So I handed him my bottle.
Handed him my bottle.
Drank down my last
swallow. Man, this really does have a slow build-up at the beginning, huh?
Then he opened a cigarette. And offered me a light.
Close. Hour number two here on Zolak and Bertrand with Bert Breer with us. 617-779-0985.
It sounds different than when you hear it in a bar.
There it is. That's where it picks up finally.
Yeah.
All right. Joshua caught gambling by the league this week, Bert.
Yeah. This guy's a
stupid.
I was thinking, we talked about it yesterday.
So you know who he is, right? You know, the USC story.
Grab your ankles. Grab your ankles.
He bet on his own team. He's a member of the Cardinals
back in college.
He's on IR, and he's in Caesars betting on his own team early in November. And they immediately reported him to the Nevada Gaming Commission and also reported him to the NFL. That's what they did. I was thinking about this after we talked about it yesterday, though. Another thought I had on this. And that is, the NFL lucked out in such a major way by having this bozo being the guy who was caught for it.
Because it's a history and not a frontline starter.
Because it's a... Well, not that it's just a nobody, but that this guy is an epic dope. And that they... Like, that was already known about him because of the previous incident where he jumped out of a second-floor window, broke his ankles, and claimed he was saving his nephew from drowning in a swimming pool, when in fact he was jumping out of a house because he had been involved in a domestic violence incident and was trying to escape. So they've already got a history on this guy because it comes up every time this week and people say, oh, yeah, you know who that guy is? Bert just asked me off the air. You know who he is, right? Yeah, he's the dummy who in college jumped out of the second floor window. And he's also the guy who was dumb enough to go to the casino and sign up for an account, probably to use the mobile betting feature. And when they asked him his occupation, he wrote down professional football player.
Okay, that was that was unfortunate, but you don't get credit for your bets unless you, you know, get in the players club. Someone brought that to my attention yesterday. It's like sticking your card in the video poker machine.
Yes, of course.
You want credit for placing bets, you got to fill out a couple of forms.
Or you don't want to go to the window and you want to use your cell phone while you're sitting there in the casino.
Could be that too.
So either way, he puts down on the form, he could put anything, they're not going to verify it. He puts down, I'm a professional football player. Like, look at me. And so just the setup of the entire incident at the casino, plus his history, allows the NFL to say, oh, please, this isn't going to happen again. This is just a dummy in our league. Look, this guy's a moron. This is an isolated incident. He's a nobody, and he's a dummy. And look,
and we're going to make an example of him.
Just look at just look at how this thing went down.
Right.
This isn't happening in our league. You got to be a real idiot to do what this guy did. And I'm just not sure that's totally accurate. I'm sure there have been other players who have placed wagers. I mean, it's impossible that there haven't been other players that have done exactly what he did, whether it be
filled out the form
in the way that he was betting on NFL games.
Right, right. But I mean, like, actually went out and filled out the
Not
form.
Exactly how he went about doing it, but the act of betting on NFL games as an NFL player. I mean, leave it at that.
At that point, when you fill out the form and you write down professional football player, you deserve to get caught.
Oh, of course.
Like, you deserve to get caught.
Yes. It set off all kinds of alarms. They're at Caesars. They're like, wait, who is this guy? You play professional football. Well, like, the Arena League's out of business, and
hey, Jimmy,
other leagues out of business.
Who do you make that bet on?
And he's like,
wait, what team does he play for?
These are all people that know sports for the most part, working at the books. And then they go, well, the XFL hasn't started yet. Hey, you. Yeah. Hey, who do you play for? Oh, the Cardinals. Oh, okay. They're like, call the gaming commissioner. We got an NFL player in here betting on NFL games. Yeah. What the hell? And so the NFL could just sort of brush it to the side and say, nah, this isn't going on in our sport. That guy's a big dummy. What are people saying around the league about this, though? Do they think it's a big deal?
I mean, for one thing, they had to come down on him. I've heard people say, like, oh, well, they shouldn't have, you know, comparing it to other atrocities that have happened in the NFL, the domestic stuff and everything else. You can't compare one to the other, because this is about the games being on the level. And if the games aren't on the level, you know, that's enormously damaging. Doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. Like, any sport, this happens. We've seen what's happened in the past with, you know, with point shaving stuff and all the rest of that. So, like, they had to come down on him. My understanding is that it wasn't just the NFL games either. Like, he also, I think, placed a bet on college hoops, placed a bet on college football.
Yeah, he's doing what we would do if we went to Vegas. Exactly. Have a good time.
He's having fun. Yeah.
He's having a hell of a day.
Did he go to Nobu?
The problem is his employer prohibits him from doing what he did.
Yeah.
That's the only small issue there.
You stupid idiot. This is like, oh my God. Robert Parrish with the weed sentinels. Yeah. Rodney Harrison with the, you know, the HGH.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Directly to
postmark, yeah.
Put it on my credit card. Don't put it on your wife's.
R-O-D-M-E-Y.
Have a friend. Have a fall guy. Listen to Chris Carter.
Send it to someone else's
Listen
house.
Listen to Chris Carter.
That nobody cares about.
Jesus.
Like, you know, what are you doing?
Send it to the station.
I forgot about Robert Parrish. That was a pretty good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
FedEx.
UPS or FedEx? What was it?
It was FedEx.
FedEx, yeah.
Yes.
Jesus. P-A-R-R-I-S-H.
Gee, I saran wrapped it
enough
times.
Yeah, tall guy. Big guy.
I didn't think it would get flagged.
Tall guy. Remember we had that box of weed sitting down?
Yeah, so apparently he left town. Like, what I know about the situation, apparently he left town. He was signed in April or March there. They wind up putting him on IR in August. He'd left town. He was off rehabbing somewhere else.
Plus, he made a parlay. So he bet three teams on the parlay. It's not like he was betting on a game that he knew was going to go one way or the other.
Right.
So they have those circumstances that go in their favor, too, if they're in the league.
Yep.
But I'd look at it and go, oh, come on. There's other guys who are betting in this league. There are other guys.
I mean, I wouldn't.
It's always been going on forever.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's too many guys. There's too many players in this league.
And guys who are in financial, who have financial issues that can, like, really use the extra money. Like, stuff you'd think would go on probably does go on. I'll put it that way.
And I bet when they found out it was this particular player, they thought, oh, what a relief. Oh, man, can you imagine if it was someone good? Can you imagine if it was a recognizable name?
Right.
A real player in this league had got bagged doing what
and
he was doing.
The fact that it was a parlay makes it so, like, point shaving's not involved, or be hard, much, much harder for point
like
shaving.
Like, J.J. Watt's on IR.
Right.
And he's obviously at the game and on the sideline. But let's just, like, assume J.J. Watt.
Action?
Like, J.J. Watt was like, hey, I'm on IR. I went to, you know, the Vegas with my boys for the weekend. And I threw down $5,000 on the Texans game. Like, whoa, what a mess that would be.
You did what?
Yeah, right. Like, what a mess for the league.
If I was one of his boys, too, I'd be like, you dumbass.
Yeah.
You know? Just whatever it might be.
But you know what? $37 million for Houston, though.
J.J. Watt's smart enough to say, hey, to his friend, here, you go up and place the bet.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me hit the cash machine.
And so I'm sure that type of stuff is going on.
Can't track cash.
Gambling. And the league is thankful for it, because you know the league wants to be involved in the casinos and gambling and the legalization of it. But only going to help their sport.
Wait until the Raiders go to Vegas. And
that's what I said yesterday.
And they're going to realize. You know what they're going to realize?
Yeah, more NFL people coming through the city.
They're going to realize when they get to Vegas next year, their local audience, right, for their local audience, their competition as far as getting people through the door and into the stadium is the sports book. That's their competition on Sunday.
Come to Vegas, watch a football game.
I think within 5 years or so, they're going to recognize we got to put one in the stadium because that's what we're competing against. Yes. And once they cross,
they better schedule a lot of Thursday night, Sunday night games when there's not a whole slate of other games going on.
And once they cross that bridge, you know what every other owner is going to say? Well, wait a minute, Mark Davis gets to have a sports book in his stadium.
It's legal in my state. Why can't I have one too?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen eventually. I don't know if it's going to.
I mean, it happens in Europe, right? Like there are betting windows.
I don't know if it's going to be 5 years from now. That seems sort of quick.
Well, but if they have trouble getting butts in the seats there, right? And they know the real competition in Vegas because that's how people consume the product there.
Of course.
Is in the sports book.
Which is a great experience.
If that's the competition, like what do you do?
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up. Also, Stephon Gilmore will join us at some point this hour. Hopefully that's coming up next as well. So don't go anywhere.
Zola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Cars for Kids reminds you that time is running out. To donate your car for 2019, call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today or go to carsforkids.com to schedule a free pickup of your car.
Attention facility managers, Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
This is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help your house feel more like a home with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
If you're in the market for the best deal on name brand winter or all season tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. With New England's largest selection of name brand winter tires, Town Fair always has the guaranteed lowest price. Plus, at Town Fair Tire, you get the most free services for life. For your best deal on any name brand winter or all season tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair.
Another game's coming up, Patriots fans. Better get to MGM Springfield. It's the home of Tap Sports Bar, the hottest place in Springfield to watch your favorite team, or any other sports for that matter. And that's just the beginning of all your fun. You could use a staycation. MGM Springfield's got just the room for you. Need some laughs? Check out MGM Springfield's Roar Comedy Club. It's hilarious. And if you just want to be a part of the action, happenings on the plaza are all must-sees. MGMSpringfield.com. There's always a reason.
The future of delivery has finally arrived. Red Rover, Red Rover, send someone right over. Rover is the on-demand rush delivery platform that puts experienced drivers at your fingertips. No more wondering where your delivery is. At ROVAHQ.com, connect directly with your driver and follow your package with real-time turn-by-turn tracking. Fast, easier, more transparent than ever before. Get started at ROVAHQ.com. ROVAHQ.com.
At the Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event, leasing a select new 2019 VW is almost as easy as signing your name. It's almost like every time you've ever signed your name has been in preparation for this moment. Signing your driver's license, first job offer, and apartment lease have all led to this. So visit your local VW dealership to test drive a variety of select new models, like the 2019 Atlas SUV, Tiguan SUV, or Jetta sedan today. Now is a great time to sign on, then drive off in a new Volkswagen.
All done with your shopping?
It would be nice if I could even start.
Oh, I hear that. You know, my parents have it all figured out. They make contributions to the kids' college savings accounts.
So no malls and no lists?
And no wrapping.
Kids grow up fast, so it's important to start saving for college as early as you can. The UFund College Investing Plan offers tax advantages on earnings, contributions, and withdrawals, so you have the opportunity to save even more. Visit Fidelity.com/UFund or call 800-FIDELITY for details. UFund Plan is offered by MEFA, your Massachusetts Educational Financing Authority, and managed by Fidelity. For investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses, contact Fidelity for a fact kit. Read it carefully. If you or the designated beneficiary is not a Massachusetts resident, consider your or the beneficiary's home state plan for alternate state tax advantages or other benefits such as financial aid, scholarship funds, and protection from creditors. Units of the portfolios are municipal securities and are subject to market volatility. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE and SIPC.
Mass General is the number one research hospital in America. Their innovative treatments for complex conditions help you and your family get back to the life you love. Mass General, revolutionizing care.
The 99 Restaurant gift cards are the perfect gift. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. The 99 Restaurant, always the real deal.
First and 10, Brady drops back into the throw. Fires down the middle for Edelman. Into his hands. Touchdown, Patriots.
Sunday, the 10-2 Patriots are back home to face the 8-4 Kansas City Chiefs at Gillette Stadium. Pre-game live from Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place begins at 1:30. Kickoff with Bob and Zoe is at 4:25 on the Safety Insurance 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Brady versus Mahomes. Pats versus the Chiefs on the home of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization. As much respect as I have for Ron, I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built.
That's David Tepper. He is the owner of the Carolina Panthers. He is the new owner of the Carolina Panthers after Jerry Richardson was forced to sell the team.
He's not the bar rescue guy, right?
No. David Tepper? No. John Taffer.
Oh, that's John Taffer.
Is the bar rescue guy. David Tepper is a billionaire hedge fund guy who now owns a football team.
He's a smart guy.
He doesn't want...
Wealthiest owner in the NFL.
Is that right?
What is it?
Good stat.
So
wealthiest guy in the league.
Wow. It was Paul Allen, but because, you know, he's passed away and I think that ownership group's kind of like split up among the kids now. David Tepper's like the wealthiest single owner.
He's got a nice house.
Oh, they've got Tepper's net worth as of earlier this year was $11.6 billion.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
So
paid cash for the team.
Yeah, I got that. Hold on a second. He sinks the riverboat. That's what he does. He fires Ron Rivera yesterday. I heard his comments. I listened to more of David Tepper.
Yep.
And he's obviously a very sort of smart guy, being his financial background, probably very analytical in a lot of ways.
Yep.
It seemed to me like he wants more of a new school, forward thinking, maybe younger coach than what he had in Ron Rivera.
He wants
offense.
He wants it to be like the Microsoft of football. He's one of these guys, you know, like I'm going to turn this into a think tank and we're going to have analytics people and we're going to have,
it's going to be interesting because
we're going to have sports science people and we're going to make this kind of like the most innovative place in the league, which we've seen this game played before.
You're doing this in a NASCAR hotbed. Like we've done a lot of games down in Charlotte. You've been to Charlotte, obviously. Yep. And it just seems like it's a roller coaster down there. It's like there's a lot of activity, there's interest in a team, and then there's years where, wow, it looks like it's a freaking dead zone down there.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see where he could do something to the stadium, reinvigorate that area with that vision, with the type of funds he has. Now, with Rivera, and speaking of doing so many games, it seems like I knew more about him because you got more motion out of him when he was a defensive coordinator, when he was on the rise and everybody was talking about him. Like, as a head coach, I can't remember he's always the same guy, like emotionless.
I think he's done a good job.
And not that
though,
that's wrong, like, but he did things his way. It's like, we're gonna develop a tough team. Where the biggest thing I remember about those Carolina teams over all the years, they were big and physical.
Yep.
They weren't exotic. They didn't do exotic things on offense. But they had good running backs. Their line was big. Their
linebackers were
defense.
Good.
We're playing 3-4, and I'm getting two studs in the middle.
Keegan and Thomas.
Yep,
Davis,
we're going to play cover two, and we're going to beat your ass.
All right. Well, I think Ron Rivera is going to get another job. No problem.
Sure.
He'll be hired in the NFL soon. The Panthers, meanwhile, according to Ben Volen, were looking into Josh McDaniels and Nick Caserio last year before they stuck with the crew they had, and he said something to watch for this time. Could that be a landing spot for McDaniels and Casero? Oh, did you?
Oh,
maybe Volin ripped off your ideas.
I don't know. I would say that I think that the both Josh and Nick are aware that they would be that there would be interest there.
Who win a fight? You or Volin?
Come on. Here's the thing.
Not a come on, like it's a ridiculous question. That's come on, I'd kick his ass.
Come on, I went to Ohio State.
Give me a break.
here's the thing that I think is like important to remember. These guys, when they go through buying teams, have advocates, right? Like, so it's like this, like, and a lot of times it's like these, like the, a prospective owner will have another guy who's in his corner and who's going to help steward him through the process.
Bert, it's like getting into a country club. You got to have a sponsor.
And Kraft was
okay,
that.
Okay, that's what it is.
And the Kraft.
Fred has one.
Yeah. The Krafts were fans of David Tepper.
So
now, they also like the Rubin guy, the Fanatics guy.
I'd stay away from that guy.
But they were big fans of David Tepper. I know they've got respect for him, and so I think that that respect is mutual. And I would not be surprised at all if you hear something about Nick or Josh winding up there.
Well, they're going to need a quarterback too, aren't they?
Maybe. I think that's going to be up to whoever's in charge next. Ooh. We don't know if Cam's going to be there next year. I don't know if Cam's playing next year.
He's
not going to play there.
He's beat up.
I think he's out of
there. He's aging quickly because of the way he's played the game, which was great for a time.
Right.
But... this is the time to rebuild my team around that guy?
I'm not ruling out, like, I wouldn't rule out retirement with him because of, again, like you said, the injuries, the injury history there, all the hits he's taken, the way he's played the game.
If he's enjoyed being away from the game, I think
that there's that, like, the door's open now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where Patrick Willis and Calvin Johnson opened the door for position players. Now Andrew Luck has opened the door for quarterbacks. Like, you'd never seen a quarterback do that before. Now that Andrew Luck's done it, sort of normalizes it to a degree, where we're maybe not expecting every guy to play into their 40s the way that Favre did, the way that Manning did, the way that Breeze and Brady have.
Right. 617-779-0985. Mike is in Waltham. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, how are you? Thanks for my call.
Hi.
Hey, Quick comment, I guess. I hear a narrative a lot about obviously the line and receivers issue with the Patriots, and obviously there's a narrative about the tight end position too. You talk about that. You guys beat that pretty good, but and there's so many angles to it. But that, I think that is a glaring issue that is not talked about enough. They straight up don't have a tight end. They didn't address it over the past few years. We could talk about free agents, but I don't think this is on Gronk. This isn't Gronk's fault we don't have a tight end. This is on the player personnel management. This is on Belichick, and I think
why isn't it part Gronkowski's fault?
Why isn't it?
Yeah.
Gronkowski.
Because of his cap number and how he strung him along throughout and past free agency.
We could talk about stringing him along, but every other team seems to have more than one tight end. And even if we did go into the year with just Gronk, what if he got injured in the third game or the 13th game? We're back in the same position anyways. Yeah. They didn't address it
right
at all.
Unless, you know, okay, there was miscommunication. Like, I find this amazing that Bill just roll into free agency, not get an answer on Rob. Or he is such a, you know, fine-tooth comb, goes through every single
detail.
This
is interesting, though. This is interesting. So I just looked this up. Since they drafted Gronk in 2010... they've only drafted three tight ends. In 2011, they took Lee Smith in the fifth round, which was the year after they drafted Gronk, right? So in the 8 years since then, only two tight ends. One was A.J. Derby, sixth round pick in 2015. And the other was Ryan Izzo, seventh round pick in 2018. That's it. So there's been no investment in that position.
That, to me, is the caller's point.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, sure, he waited until the end of March to call it quits. That complicates your offseason a little bit. There's no denying that.
Draft guy.
You have nobody behind him. There was no depth at the position.
Who's the other kid from Iowa?
This was a decent draft.
I couldn't grab the guy like Fells at that instead of Harry.
This was a decent draft class at that position, too. Now, you weren't getting Hockenson or Fant, right? Who are the two kids?
No, Fant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Fant, Hockenson, the two kids that came out of
Iowa. So, didn't you say they should draft a tight end?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what you're saying back in the spring.
When he retired, I said you got to draft tight end. That's your number one priority.
All right, so like those two guys are the leading guys. But you have Irv Smith, who went to the Vikings,
Alabama,
right?
Yep.
Alabama kid.
Oh, there was the talk of Rudolph being available since they drafted him in the number, and I thought maybe they're going to go after Rudolph.
Irv Smith in Minnesota's got 28 catches. Dawson Knox in Buffalo, good two-way tight end out of Ole Miss. He's got 25 catches. Foster Moreau, the Raiders got him, I think, in the fourth round. He's got 18 catches. He's been a good player for them. So you see where, like, this was seen as a very good tight end group. And that was, like, when I looked at the amount of capital they had last year. And, again, you look at, like, drafting Damian Harris. Would you be better off having taken a tight end there? We can look up who was available at the time. But, it was seen as, like, this isn't revisionist history. This was seen as a very, very good year for tight ends.
Right.
And I think we're seeing that play out on the field.
So guys that were picked after him, like Irv Smith or a guy like Dawson Knox, they could have right now.
Yeah.
If they wanted those guys, they could have had them.
Yep.
Instead, they got N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
So that hasn't worked out.
Let's go.
The draft move, but it goes beyond just this draft because they've had a lot of drafts where they haven't gotten a ton out of them, and they're not a team that has a lot of guys at the end of their rookie deals.
Right.
They don't.
That's the other issue.
They don't have that next wave right now.
That's the other issue. I mean, you look at a couple of these drafts are graveyards. Like, right? Like, so a couple of them, like there was the draft in 2017, Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dietrich Wise, and Connor McDermott. That's not great, right? 2016, the year before that, Cyrus Jones, bust. Joe Tooney, really good player. Jacoby Brissett, the right pick. Whether he traded him or not, it's a question. But Vincent Valentine, Malcolm Mitchell, Kaimu Grazier-Hill, who's a good player now for the Eagles, Landon Roberts, Ted Karras, Devin Lucien. I look at it, and it's like, if you don't have like that next group coming up, the way like in 2014, right, there were guys who weren't playing on the championship team that were coming up behind him, James White, Malcolm Butler. If you don't have that next group coming up, then you've got to overspend to keep free agents, which cuts down your margin for error.
Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Mr. Gilmore, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good. Not in the week. Yeah. Good opportunity, so I'm good.
I mean, I saw a little back and forth between you and Hopkins there on Twitter. From my standpoint, it looks like you locked him up pretty good. How much was he chirping at you during the game? You guys got a history there.
I'm just leaving it at it. Try to, focus on Kansas City, last week, so.
So you didn't exchange jerseys then after the game? Like some
I never
guys.
Changed, I never changed the receivers.
Oh, that's awesome.
You don't? I love that.
I love that. Because, you see so everybody's great. Switching jerseys now.
So you don't do that.
I love that.
Is that a principal thing for you?
I just don't. It's not in my mind. It's not in my DNA. I just can't do it.
See, and you're a nice guy. Everything's predicated on you. Like, you don't swear. You don't drink. You do nothing. But you won't give up your jersey.
Everyone thinks you're
Everybody's
a nice
got
guy.
That. Yeah.
Do you know that? Do you know that everyone thinks you're a nice guy?
I'm a nice guy.
You're like you're like a secret assassin, though. That's really great.
Yeah.
Edelman said you're an a-hole on the field. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You and Hopkins go way back, though, right?
Was that friendly fire?
I'm just leaving how it is. I'm not going to get into it.
All right. We tried, though. You got to give us credit for trying. All right, so you're getting ready for Kansas City. You're putting last week behind you. What stands out about Kansas City to you?
Speed. They got a lot of speed guys on the field, a lot of explosive guys. They got a great quarterback, that can throw the ball anywhere on the field, 60, 70 yards, however long you want them to throw it. They got a lot of talent, and, they got a good football team. So we got to have a have to put a good game plan together and play together as a team.
It seemed like they broke through last week, too. Did you notice anything different in the Raider tape? I know they've gotten healthier, but do you notice anything different in the Raider tape from what they've been the weeks before that?
Same team. I think, Hill got hurt early in the season, but, you know, they still was explosive. He came back, they were more explosive. So, they still look like the same team, you know, a good football team.
How much does playing against them last year, the two times that you did, and recognizing the type of speed help you? Because I know you have a ton of walkthroughs, you're going to have practice, and you're, 85-90% in practice, but you can't replicate that type of speed in practice. How much does that game speed that you played against help you in this type of game?
I think everybody knows he's fast, we got to have a higher end is where he had on the field, and play accordingly. And, I don't think it will help us now just because we played him in the past, but because we still got to go out there and compete and make plays. But obviously we know he was a great football player.
How does the challenge of playing against Mahomes change things too, in that he can make throws from spots that most quarterbacks can't, and the way he keeps plays alive?
Yeah, I mean, he's very tough. He like you say, he can make every throw, and he also can extend plays, so that's what makes him good, too. So, and he got a lot of speed around him, so I'm looking forward to it.
Steph, I can't remember. Did you play with McCoy in Buffalo?
Yeah, I did.
Now, he's there. How much does that complicate things, not only with him, but throw Hardman into the mix? You know, supposedly he runs a 4-3. And you know what McCoy can do. How much does that complicate things with that back, that type of back?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's very, elusive. You know, can make a lot of people miss, whether that's routes or in the open field. So, he's another big talent on their team that they picked up. And everybody, you got to have 11 hats to the football to make plays.
Steph, we haven't talked to you since the Cowboys game. And I don't mean to go back in time. I know you want to focus on Kansas City, but this is more about you. That pick was incredible in that game. That was a hell of a play you made. And we were talking in our broadcast booth right after that happened about whether or not you at any point had attempted to play receiver. I know you played both ways in high school, right? Quarterback and defensive back. So you were doing what you do now. But at any point did anyone say, hey, why don't you play receiver for a day and check this out?
Yeah, Deion did it.
Yeah.
I could do it. I think I could do it. I never done it, but I think it don't look that hard to me.
Here we go then. Okay.
Yes. So, all right. So it didn't.
Can you get on the same page with Tom?
It didn't happen in high school. It didn't happen in college. But would you give it a go now? You try it. Could you go both ways in the NFL?
Whatever it takes to help the team, I do.
How long do you think it would take you to get ready to do it?
Yeah, I mean, like Edelman played corner a little bit, slot.
Like, you think you could do it this week if Bill asked you today?
No, but like, I mean, if they would have to give you like three specific routes and not try and overcomplicate it, right?
I just think any position is a mindset. You know, you got to want to do it and you got to be confident in it. I feel like you can be successful if you have those things.
And you are on a team that does keep an open mind on these things. Landon Roberts is playing fullback right now.
Yeah, whatever it takes. You know, everybody, whatever they say, whatever we need at the moment, I feel like everybody on this team does it if it's going to benefit the team.
I think we just solved the receiver issue.
I think we just did. I think we got the answer. All right, Steph, good luck on Sunday. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Steph.
All right, thank you.
All right, see you, bud.
Stephon Gilmore joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
There you have it. We just solved the Patriots' problems.
It sounds like it never at any point did anyone say, and certainly not in high school, we knew that because he was playing quarterback. But in college, like, it never came up, hey, I just switch over the offense today in practice.
Put him in for a slip
in
screen.
Summer camp.
Put you don't like for a slip screen, yeah.
Well, a lot of times it's like the coach, like the guys will go to coaches, right? Guys will go to coaches and ask sometimes.
Yeah, it's usually like the T.O. Deion Sanders type. Like, I can do everything.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, he's got the right attitude.
Hey, I love him.
I mean, you just saw the way,
shirt away. That's great.
The way that he caught it, the way that he transitioned the football. I mean, it was just smooth.
Yeah.
It was a smooth play in the Dallas game. He thinks he can do it. He's up for the challenge. I love it.
Doesn't look that hard.
It doesn't look that hard. The jersey thing is awesome, though. You know, we were talking yesterday about, the Celtics and all their hugs with Kyrie, and you're like, there's not enough hate in sports anymore. And guys don't have enough of an edge. This guy's like, I'm not giving my job. I'm not giving my
like he and Edelman don't like each other in practice. Yeah. Remember day one where like he got here, like he had a fight with Edelman first day of practice. Like, we ain't gonna put up with this crap. We're not gonna be playing grab ass out here. I come out here, I compete. Man, we're friends off the field. We ain't friends on the field. Like, that is swagger. That's what you want in your number one corner. That's Ty Law stuff.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Nobody's got the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl. But they're qualified people. Jason Garrett is one of them. In my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
That makes you feel better. Here, Jason.
Did you say coaching in the
coaching,
NFL?
Coaching, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL.
My opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
What's so that mean, Bert? You know the guy.
Yeah, it doesn't mean Dallas. So if I'm going to put on my conspiracy theorist hat, I think that that's a swipe at Jason Garrett.
For the Giants thing?
Yeah, and I tell you this, like I think one of the reasons he was so aggressive after the Patriots game was because the Giants thing came out that morning, and I think he's sitting there saying, "Well, what the hell? Like we're all
cheating on me.
We're all on. We're all in on this year. We've put together a roster that we think is capable of winning a championship. We're underachieving. It was a like we're not playing well, and
they would beat a team with a winning
and now you got your people. Now you got your people out here playing footsies with my division rival." I think that's what Jerry was thinking. Like, I think it's a big part of what he was thinking. And I mean, look, if he believes that that was happening, then I don't really blame him for being upset about that. Right? They haven't played up to expectations. They haven't played up to what their talent level is. And I can understand why he would be upset that that got out there the morning of the Cowboys playing the Patriots.
I mean, we all know he's smart. He went to Princeton, meaning Garrett. Like, and he's played in the league a while, and he's like me, lasts a long time with the same team and backed up Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple things at work, I think, with the Giants.
I'd let him go. I'd let him go in a second. I would have fired him after the Thursday night debacle.
I think part of the issue is it's like, so, like, Jerry's always sort of viewed Jason as his creation, right? Because he let him into the game planning meetings in the 90s when he was still a player, and he hired him as the offensive coordinator before he hired the head coach. He hired him as OC before he hired Wade Phillips in 2007, which is super unconventional.
Did he learn from this with Kellen Moore and Kellen Moore's development because you see the same type of trick?
Kellen Moore they think very highly of Kellen
Moore.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kellen Moore eventually winds up being the head coach there because it's the same sort of thing. Like
then he's going to control it again, and we're going to do this all over again.
But there's a reason why there's like that whole thing with the Giants. One, the Giants are very into familiarity, and they're familiar with him because he played there too. And two, I was told that like a couple of coaches who went from New York to Dallas on their way out the door, John Mara said to them, "Hey, you know, we hate to lose you, but if there's somebody else you're going to go work for, we don't mind that it's Jason Garrett." They like Jason Garrett. So it wouldn't shock me. I don't think he's at the top of the Giants list, but it wouldn't shock me if he wound up there. I also think Jerry views this as an opportunity to go and make a run at a guy that his family is, and I don't think I'm overselling the smitten with. In Lincoln Riley,
because he recruited his grandkid,
right? Yeah. And because he's,
but I think you get a relationship with
develops quarterback. I mean, like, look, like, and this isn't a Cowboys thing. Everyone in the NFL thinks very, very highly of Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. So Michael Bennett wins a championship in Seattle, and he's sort of a loose cannon there.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to Philly. You know, they go to the playoffs, whatever it is. Comes here, didn't work out here, but got paid a lot of money. Gets his ass traded down here. What's it say for that team that he's the one that recognizes something ain't right here?
I thought that was weird, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was really, really
strange.
If
I'm like one of the members, if I'm like a guy like Lawrence or if I'm Dak or someone like,
I'm probably like,
dude, you just got here and you're going to blow up on our team?
Right.
But doesn't that still tell you how bad it is there?
I don't think this
guy recognizes like, damn, I just came from New England where it didn't work. At least they know what the hell they're doing.
I don't think leadership's the problem there, to be honest with you. I think Dax, I mean, look, DeMarcus Lawrence and Jalen Smith are kind of wild cards to some degree. They lead in their own way, I would say. But you've got, I mean, Dak, I think, is as good a leader at that position for his age
as there is
in the league. Dak's
like
a very, very good leader. I think they've got, like, fairly good people. The offensive linemen, like, I think they've got good people in that building. I think the issue has been like just a lack of discipline, a lack of organization. Like it just, it doesn't, and that's Jason's problem right now is the team does not look very well.
Like coached. You saw the team on Thanksgiving Day. They're jumping up and down like in the huddle before the game.
Yeah.
And Garrett's jumping up and down the middle of the huddle with them, like slamming shoulders on them. Like, and he walks and around, shakes each guy's hand, and pushes them in pregame. Like, that's his thing to do. But you don't see Belichick do it. You don't see even Gase do it. Tomlin doesn't do it.
I think that's Jason compensating a little bit because I don't think that – I think the biggest issue Jason's had there over the last 9 years
– been a Cowboy forever, dude.
Is he doesn't – like he – but he – like there's a certain way that I think he believes a program should be set up, and I think it's not unlike the program here because the two guys that Jason respects most that he played for and coached for, Nick Saban in Miami –
yeah.
Right, and Jimmy Johnson in Dallas.
Yeah.
He wants to run the program there the way that Bill runs the program here. But you can't do that when Jerry's the owner, right?
Can't.
It's like the dynamic.
But I don't know if he can hold the room like Bill. You know what I mean?
It's the dynamic that Carroll. That Carroll dealt with before Robert learned his lesson about that, right? So it's you can't be Nick Saban in Dallas because the players are always going to have that mechanism that they can go to the owner. Like there's always going to be that second thing there, you know, and so. I'd be interested to see what Jason Garrett would do in a place where they set it up for him. And they say, okay, this is your show. Do it however you want to do it. We're getting out of the way. Because it was never going to be that way in Dallas.
All right, Bert, before we let you go here in the last couple of minutes, what happens if the Patriots lose on Sunday?
The season's over. I don't know. I mean, like if they lose on Sunday, well, so... If they lose on Sunday, that puts them like in a must-win situation for the last 3 weeks of the season because Baltimore is the one seed.
Thank you.
Right? How do you lose Sunday?
I just think with the age of your team and the situation.
What if you lose in a shootout? 34-31.
I think not getting a bye is damaging. I think not getting a bye is hugely damaging.
Well, hang on here. So, okay, in NBC Sports Boston, they put the playoff picture up.
Yep.
So say the Ravens stay the one.
Right.
The Chiefs are getting hot. Mm-hmm. Almost the way I look at it, and this is the path of least resistance, right? Because everything goes through Baltimore right at that point. The best chance for you as a two to still host that title game is to let the Chiefs
forget the
be
math
at four. Shut up.
Forget the
math. Chiefs at four.
If you lose this game, you've got
or play the or
you're
three.
On the wrong, so you're on the
you
wrong.
Want the Chiefs to play the Ravens.
You're on the
divisional
wrong
round.
Look, you're on the wrong side of every tiebreaker.
What are you saying about the season if these guys lose to the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at home?
I'm in trouble.
What do you think? This thing's done.
Because you could win the next
done.
Three.
You think it's done?
I just don't think it's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
That would make
I mean, I know that last next... year you lost to Pittsburgh, you lost to Miami, great. You now are talking about every good opponent you faced, you can't beat them.
You could still be 13-3.
That means you lost, you lost to the Ravens, you lost to the Texans, you lost to the Chiefs. You're losing to all the AFC playoff teams is what it comes down
we
to.
Talked about the
You've got to beat one of these teams.
13-3 gets you number two seed.
So what?
Beatles got
so what?
They
went to the Super Bowl doing it last year.
We all talked about the six-game stretch, right?
I feel worse about that.
But they beat some good teams along the way last year.
Yeah, they lost every freaking road game they were in. And they lost a miracle Miami.
We talked about this.
That's not their way.
This five-game stretch, right? And it was six before we figured out that Cleveland wasn't very good. So it's a five-game stretch, right? They're 2-2 right now, and I don't know that Dallas and Philly are really that good.
They're not. We've learned that. Here's a streak for you. Boston Sports Inf on Twitter.
Inf.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman have never lost a game to an AFC opponent in the regular season at Gillette Stadium.
Wow.
In a game that they've both played in. So when they're both healthy... And they're both playing. They are 42-0 all time against AFC teams at Gillette.
That's
the streak
crazy.
Has lasted 10 years and 2 months.
Wait a minute. Was and Edelman not healthy when Alex
on
Smith
the line
led
on
the
Sunday.
Chiefs in here?
I'll tell you what. There was an AFC team. The AFC team that you're facing this Sunday almost came in here and did it last year. Came super
ACL.
Close.
Right.
Torn ACL when that happened.
Weird years.
42-0. Edelman and Brady against the AFC at Gillette.
Oh, they ain't losing Sunday.
Over the last 10 years.
Yeah. This is...
Is Edelman healthy?
I would warn you about the Chiefs. Like,
it's
I don't
an important
think,
game for this
I,
team.
I don't,
oh, yeah,
I don't,
it's organizationally.
I don't think we've seen what the Chiefs can be because they've been so injured for most of this year. And that offense was together for the first time last week. We saw what happened, and the defense is getting better. So I'm not saying they're world
so,
beaters.
So by saying that, if the Patriots are going to take care of the Chiefs, then you're feeling a hell of a lot differently about the Patriots.
I don't
Monday
know.
Too,
I right?
should.
Both I don't,
ways.
I don't
okay.
think anybody.
It could be a big
There's
swing
a lot
here.
Of balance here. It's a big swing, and you know what here.
Yep. Big splash. What does that have to do with anything?
I don't think it has anything to do with anything. Bert, thanks for the time today.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bert Breer of the MMQB with us in studio here at our Town Fair Tire Studios. We've got 90 seconds of headlines with Hardy. Bill Belichick is going to speak in about 15 minutes. You will hear it live.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.